God, we thank you once again as we come to worship you in instruction. Father, we ask that you would open up our hearts and open up our minds and definitely give us increasing understanding as to what it is that you want to do with us and where you would like to take us. So, Father, help us with our fears, help us with our stubbornness, help us with all those things that interfere with you having a good relationship with us. And, Father, help us to set aside those sins and those weights that easily get us down. So, Father, let this be a day of rejoicing. Let this be a time of rejoicing in the power of your word and the power of your spirit. Anoint me as your vessel. Anoint your people as the recipients. Anoint this place as your sanctuary. Be exalted, O Lord. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Again, we're going to look at the thing that's on your handout, and then we're also going to look at some different things. We want to understand that the Lord gave the Holy Spirit, and the scripture tells you very clearly that he gave you the Spirit as a comforter, and the Spirit is going to do two major things. And one, that is what? According to the word, what does the scripture say? When the Spirit comes, he shall do what? Let's go back. Look, one thing he is going to do is lead you and guide you into truth. So I want you to think about this for a minute. If he's leading you and guiding you into truth, that means you're already in a state of error. Because if you wasn't in a state of error, would he need to lead us in truth? No. So one of the signs of the end time is going to be a flip-flop of good and evil, right and wrong, men and women, and truth and a lie. So we have to see that we're living in a time that is not a reversion going on. It's already reverted. So I have to understand this next role. What does scripture say? Who is the Father looking for in this time? Worshippers. So what I have to realize, and we've talked about this several times, and I'm going to get very clear today. I have to understand the process a shepherd does when he separates his flock. So it's very important to understand that so I can understand when I say the Lord is my shepherd, then I have to realize he's going to shepherd me. But I got to realize there's people who are not going to allow him to shepherd them. So I have to understand there will always be people of God who will not let the Lord shepherd them. And so you have to understand, watch a famous verse. What does the Lord do? He leaves who? He leaves the 99. But here's the mistake. He doesn't leave the 99 to go get the one that doesn't want to be shepherd. He leaves the 99 to get the one that's accidentally wandered off. Because what will they do when he arrives? They'll follow him back to where they need to be. So in this time, and again, write this in the margin of your notes. The Lord separates the sheep first. Because goats don't follow him. So how does the Lord separate the sheep? He walks. And he walks to where he's going. And what will the sheep do? The domesticated, the tame sheep. What will they do? They will follow him. Now remember what Jesus said. He says, my sheep know my voice. So when he's walking, he's calling out the name of the sheep. And what do the sheep do when they hear his name? They follow him. Now, what will the wild sheep not do?
They won't come. They won't respond.
No, they hear the name. Now, anybody here that has a rebellious child, don't they hear you when you call their name? But what do? They choose, they ignore it. So I have to see that as the Lord is preparing for his arrival, what's the Spirit doing? He's calling out the names of the sheep. So everybody here, you have to understand, the Lord is going to call your name out in various ways this year, and you must follow. Now, for those who hear their name or choose to ignore their name, they will stay where they are. Now, why is that important? Because there's another passage of Scripture. One, he says he'll lead us and guide us into all truth, but he also do the second thing. Show you things to come. But you cannot know what's coming unless you're following the shepherd, because he doesn't tell you here what's coming. He tells you here as he's walking. So I have to realize, what's the Lord doing? He's calling his sheep. He's calling his people. He's calling them by name. Anybody here feel an urge inside you to get right, get busy, get up, to start changing your ways? Do you feel an urge? Yes. That is him. He's calling your name because he's getting ready to start walking. So now as he's walking, those that hear their name will start looking for the shepherd. Y'all hear me? They'll look for the shepherd because they hear their name, and only he knows how to call them that name. That's why a child, in scientific studies, have proven in 100% of the case, they actually had women call different children by their name, blind, and had the child blindfolded, and 100% of that time, that child was able to identify their parent by hearing. All right, so where are we going with this? What's the Lord getting ready to start doing? He's moving. Key to none. He is moving. What did Israel need to do when they saw the cloud move? They need to follow it. Remember, what's the cloud always symbolic of? Holy Spirit. So in other words, what's the Holy Spirit getting ready to do? He's starting to move to the next spot on the road to destiny. So to make sure we all got that. So he's calling up people. He's calling the first group out first. He's calling which group? Who remembers? Who's part of the first group? Just remember this. That's true. No, the first group is the east side. So he's calling the east side, and he's moving them. So what is the south side supposed to be doing? No, not getting ready. Be ready. Because who's to move next? The south side. So watch what you want to see. So we have people who believe. We have people who are believers. But what the Lord is calling now first is worshipers. And what do you know about those three tribes that was part of the east end? Right. So understand, they were warriors, but more importantly, they were worshipers. So who is the Spirit starting with in this move? The worshipers. So what you and I got to understand, I can no longer believe. I can no longer be a believer. In this move now, I must be a worshiper. So y'all got to have that out. I must be a worshiper, because to go where we're going, a worshiper has to go first. And we're going to see all this stuff. Real quick jump. You're going to see why Joshua did what he did, when he did what he did, and it's going to make a lot more sense to you today why it happened that way. All right, so again, who's he separating? Those that believe from the believers, and then he's separating the believers from the worshipers, because what has to be done first Those that believe can't do it, and those that are believers can't do it. The only ones that could do it are the worshipers, because this battle is not a natural battle. So I have to understand it. All right, let's keep going so we go down. So we're going to understand this festival, Unleavened Bread. This is the second of his festivals. Let's read it.
You are to observe the festivals of Matzah, for on this very day I brought your divisions out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you are to observe this day from generation to generation by a perpetual regulation.
All right, so watch the difference. Just read your first line. Why do true worshipers spiritually observe the commanded first covenant festivals? So let's do it again, make it quick. Why do worshipers spiritually observe something that's commanded? Now let's watch. In every one of you, there's a part of you that does not like to be told.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got a few.
That's true.
Most of us here do not like to be told to do something. We want to always be asked, choose, plight, whatever the way. But what is it that a worshiper understands? Does it matter that it's commanded?
No.
No, not to a worshiper, because a worshiper understands where this fits in the whole picture. So is the festival commanded?
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it a commandment to the worshiper?
No.
No. Moed. What is it to the worshiper? What is the day to a worshiper?
A memorial.
It's a moed, huh? That's true. What? No, you're missing it, though. It's an appointment. So watch me carefully. You can't get fixed by any doctor unless you have an appointment. Because what's that first thing that doctor going to say to you? Do you have an appointment? So here's my question to you today. Has God called this a moed?
Yes.
Is it an appointment?
Yes.
Therefore, there's something he wants to do.
Right?
Right? So what does the worshiper know about today? God's going to do something. I'm not here because he commanded me. I'm here because I have an appointment. And in this appointment, God is wanting to fix whatever's wrong with me. So the worshiper doesn't say, I'm being commanded. The worshiper says, man, I'm getting ready to get fixed. So instead of not wanting to be here because I'm commanded, I'm running to be here so I can get fixed. So we're going to see that what God does during unleavened bread is not the same as what he does over Passover. So let's see. So what does God want to do to you who are willing to worship him today? He's willing to not just fix you. He's willing to direct you to a place that you really want to go, but you don't realize it yet. So watch again. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Then he wants a better one.
Amen.
So what's the day also about?
My relationship.
Improving my relationship with him. So we're going to see some things. I'm going to go through this part here real quick. So spring festivals, they prefigure truths about him as the Lamb of God. All right. Pesach foretells his death as the Father's. What's that word there? As the Father's. Lamb. So watch. On Pesach, you cannot be a vegetarian. You must partake of the Lamb, because what was Jesus? The Lamb of God. So didn't Jesus say, I have to partake? Watch. What did he tell those disciples? You have to eat of me. So when someone takes the lamb, and even Jews do this, and they make it something else, then you violated his order. In other words, what is Jesus to you, every one of you here? The Father's Lamb of God. It's essential that you let him be the lamb. 2.